If you'd take the Word of God with me this evening and turn to John chapter 14. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. John chapter 14, and I'd ask that you follow along as I read the words of God this evening. Beginning in verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how we can know the way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Let's bow our heads once again as we give our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening and look to Him for our strength and for our spiritual food that we need tonight. Our dear Father, we bow before You once again, and Lord, we ask now that You would direct our hearts to Your Word. Father, I pray that You give me strength and boldness to preach Your Word. You've laid this message in my heart for the people of this church tonight, and I pray that it would be brought across in simplicity, that each and every individual here tonight would understand what Your Word says. Father, give us the hope that is in Jesus tonight. Father, fill our hearts with Your grace and with Your strength. And Lord, as always, we as a church will praise You for all things, because You do all things well. And Father, now we commit this time to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Our church suffered a great loss this past week with the unexpected homegoing of one of our pastors, Pastor Prisk. And I know that this evening that there are many, if not each and every heart tonight, grieving as we consider and think about our beloved pastor and friend. See, losing someone we love is never easy. I believe it is never easy because it not only brings a loss, but it brings an attachment of questions, concerns, and even fears. It is natural to rejoice when life comes into this world, and it is also natural to grieve when life leaves this world. Now, I know that many of you tonight are wanting to be strong for the family. You are wanting to be strong for each other and just keep busy, keep your minds occupied. But may I say this, remember, it is okay to grieve. Tonight I'm not going to preach a message on the brevity of life. We all know that life is short. James 4 says it's like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We all realize that death is part of life. We understand that it is appointed unto men once to die. We all understand that a soul will live on, whether in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ or in the separation of Christ in the fires of hell. To preach on these things tonight would bring little help to our grieving hearts. What we need as a church is a word from God. We need Almighty God to give us something that will bring us through this time, through this trial, through this grief that we're experiencing. The world cannot comfort our hearts. Jesus Christ said that in John chapter 14. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." The world cannot comfort in this time. I don't even believe the world can understand the peace that God wants to give us. Our tears will not comfort us, although many will be shed. But there is one who can comfort, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author of hope. He is the giver of peace. And brethren, He is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God has not done what is wrong. God has not made a mistake. He still sits on the throne. He still is controlling the situation. And what He needs of us tonight is to get behind God and say, "God, we're with You. We understand that You are in control and that You have not left us." He says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "I will never leave thee. I will not forsake thee." And He says this so that I may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." And brethren, that is what I want to relay tonight, that God is our helper. Nothing else will help. Yes, our hugs and yes, our sympathies, yes, our words are comforting, but God's promises are sure. God's precepts are secure, and God's provisions are satisfying. They will meet the needs because God knows how to do all things well. And with God, we can have hope that there will be a brighter tomorrow. We can have hope that He is in control. We can have hope that He will bring us through just fine. I'm reminded of what David said in Psalm 43 and verse 5. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" I can imagine a man like David, a man after God's own heart, who was a man of faith, a man that walked with God, that it wasn't a question that he was just saying, "Why art thou cast down?" But it was a frustrating question. "God, why am I disquieted? Why am I cast down at this moment?" He says, "Why am I disquieted within me?" David answers his own question. He says, "Hope in God." He doesn't need anything else. He says, "I know what the answer is." And I know that tonight many of you are not coming here saying, "What is the answer?" We know that God is the answer. And it's that flesh, it's that natural affections that is saying, "You know what, I want to be cast down. I want to be low." But cheer up your heart. Hope in God. Because He says this is what will happen. He says, "For I will yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Listen to what David said. He says, "I will praise Him." There ought to be praise from our lips tonight. We ought to praise the Lord for doing all things well. We ought to praise the Lord for the ministry that Pastor Frisk had. We ought to praise Him for the time that He gave him. And God says, "If you'll do that, I'll give health back to your countenance. You will be my child and I will be your God." See, brethren, what David is saying is this: with God, I can go through anything. You know what? David said, "I need God on the mountaintops. And I need God in the valleys. And I even need God when I walk through the midst of the shadow of death. I need God every moment. I can't go a minute without Him." What David is simply saying, he says, He is big enough to get me through whatever comes my way. He's big enough, and all I have to do is have faith in His way and in His plan. You know, I think of Psalm 23. A tremendous psalm that we go to in times like this. And as I was reading it this afternoon, I saw so many promises of God. And when we think about that, God is there walking with us. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. Aren't you glad tonight we're not relying on somebody else's shepherd? Aren't you glad you don't have to rely on me or rely on somebody else in this church? You can go straight to God. He's your shepherd. He'll lead you. He'll take care of you. Brethren, I only have so much strength. And that's just for me right now. You need God. I need God. He's our shepherd and we need to come to Him. He says, He maketh me. Aren't you glad you have a God, a shepherd that sometimes forces us? Says, you know what? I'm going to make you to lay down in the green pastures. You need to rest a while. You need to have some time to grieve. You need to have some time to think and get with me. I'm going to make you lie down. It's not an option for us. It says, then He leadeth us beside the still waters. Brethren, God led you here tonight. He knew you needed the water of life. He knew that you needed to get down and get a scoop of water and refresh your soul tonight. And say, yes, God is in control. God led you here. He goes on and says, He restoreth my soul. Oh, there's the promise of God. He says, I'll be restoring. What you're hurting and what you're feeling, I will restore. I will mend the broken hearts. I will heal those that grieve. Then He says, then I will lead you in the path of righteousness for my name's sake, for God's glory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest. Here's what God's doing. He says, I'll prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a prayer. What a statement from David. He says, God, whatever, I have faith in You. That's all I need. Whatever comes my way, I know You'll be there. Brethren, what I am simply saying tonight is this. Hope in God. Hope in God. When the days get dark, hope in God. When the past seems to be so unstable and uncertain, hope in God. When grief wants to overtake you and bring you down, hope in God. See, whatever you need tonight, your Heavenly Father will provide. You say, God, I need some peace. He says, here's some peace. God, I need some joy. Here's some joy. God, I need some comfort and some understanding. Here, what you need, I'll give you. Because He says this, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There He attached. He says, Jesus Christ can do all things for you. Whatever your needs are, I will do it according to my riches. Not according to the world's riches, not according to what you can obtain. I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. If you'll hope in me. If you'll hope in me. See, were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight we would be of all men most miserable. Tonight would be nothing more than a time that we would cry and weep and have no hope. But because Jesus Christ lives, because He's real, because He's on the throne, we have so much hope tonight. Will we see Pastor Prisk again? Oh, let's ask, what's the hope? It's Jesus Christ. Do we know that He's in a better place? Well, where's our hope? Well, it's Jesus Christ. Can we be assured of the comfort to come in these days? Where do we go for help? It's Jesus Christ. See, all things point to Him. All things point to Christ. And so, brethren, we need to get our eyes on who? Jesus Christ. It's the only way we as a church, it's the only way as you an individual, it's only the way you as a loved one and a family member will get through this time. It is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Oh, I'm so glad I get to preach that tonight. I'm so glad I have a message that will work. That I don't have to come up here and analyze and try to give psychology and self-helps. I just give Jesus. Because He says, I will do it. I will do everything that is needed. You know, John chapter 14 is a wonderful passage of hope. Oh, such a wonderful passage of hope. You know why it is? Because it contains Jesus. That's the only reason it is. It's not the words, it's who's speaking the words. It's not the disciples or the situation. It's who's handling the disciples and the situation. It's Jesus Christ. Oh, brethren, we got to get excited. Jesus Christ is doing something. He's wanting to work. And He says, you hope in me, I'll show you something you never thought. I'll show you things that you never thought you would see. And maybe right now you can't believe, but I'll bring it to pass. And so tonight I just want us to consider this passage of Scripture real quick. In John chapter 14, if you're still there, we find the Lord Jesus Christ informing His disciples of His soon departure and foretelling them of His coming return. I like how He starts out with this statement. In verse number 1, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your hearts, let not your heart be troubled. You ever notice that Jesus always wants to calm our heart first? He's going for the heart. Oh, He may be calming the wind and the storm at the same time, but His aim is at our heart. He says, "Child, take comfort in me. I'm here." I think of Peter as he was out on that water, or the disciples in the boat, and he walked out there. Were they thinking He was going to calm the storm? I don't think so. But when they saw Jesus, they said, all right, everything's going to be okay. He's walking towards us. Now He said, all right, wind, you can stop. All right, sea, you can calm down. But you know what? Peter had his eyes on Christ. And his heart was being comforted so much so that he could walk out in the midst of the storm. And brethren, that's where we are. We're walking in the midst of the waves and the wind. But Jesus Christ has said, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Believe in me. Don't be troubled. Don't look around. I'm here. I'm here to comfort. He knew that His disciples would be troubled in their heart when they heard the news of His departure. And so He focused His attention on Himself. He said here, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me." You know, I find that's where many people are today, is we believe in God, but what He wants is, do you believe in Christ that He can do the work He needs to do? Oh, we can say God's in control, but we can live outside of His control. We can say that God's comforting, but is God really comforting? Jesus said, now I want you to focus on me, because I want to do a work in your life. I want to show you something, and it's going to be more than just you believing in God. It's going to take some faith and belief in me. Now, it's a wonderful thing. Brethren, don't focus on the situation. Jesus says, focus on me. Don't get upset with the changes that have happened. Jesus says, focus on me. Don't worry about the future. Don't try to plan things. Don't try to get things all sorted out. He says, you just focus on me a while. See, Christ knew and understood that questions and concerns would come. And that they would come to their heart and they would be distressed. So He opens up right away. He says, don't be troubled. Let me give you some consolation. Let me give you some hope. Look at what He says in verse number 2. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now we use this verse a lot to say, you know what, this is what we're looking forward to. God's making a mansion for me. He's making a mansion for you. Anybody that is washed by the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, construction has begun. But you know what I saw there in this verse? I think this is the hope. He says in the last part, I go to prepare a place for you. For you. That's what I'm doing it for. Brethren, I know you're upset that I'm departing a while. But I'm doing it for you. I have to go there to get the work accomplished. It's for you. I'm not hurting you. I'm not doing this to make you upset. I'm going for you. Now look at verse 3, what he says. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's saying now, if I'm going to go prepare for you, then I'm coming back for you. Simple promise tonight. I'm going for you, but I'm coming back for you. I mean, what hope? I mean, we just have to rest and say, you know what? When times get hard, when trials come, when problems come, we just say, you know what? Jesus is coming back for me. It's all right. If He deems needful now to take me back and be with Him, then He'll do it. God knows best. You see how much hope's in those verses? I mean, that's just so amazing. I'll tell you this. God loves His children. God loves His children. Brother, I'll say, you know what? If God didn't give us a mansion, then He still has poured out more love on us than we deserve. He says, I'm going for you and I'm coming for you. Don't worry. I'm coming back. Jesus said to His disciples, I know that you don't understand everything. And sometimes things won't make sense to you. But hope in me. He never told His disciples to figure it all out. He never said that they have to understand everything. But He did say this. I'm going, I'm coming, and I want you to hope and wait. Simple message. And brethren, that is the same message that Jesus is delivering to us tonight. He says, I'm going. I'm preparing for you, but I'm coming back. And He says, I want you to hope in me, and I want you to wait. I'm still in control. But it's my timing. Don't try to figure me out. Don't try to understand everything. Just believe me and hope in me. You know, that's a lot of what we're trying to do. Figure it out. And God says, not your job. It's my job. Let me do it. You know, brethren, I am so happy tonight that we have a God that we can believe Him at His word. It's not, well, I hope this works for you, brethren. It's, I know it works for you. God said it, and it makes it truth. God said it. We don't have to wonder if He's lying. We don't have to wonder if He's just messing with us. We don't have to wonder if it's going to come true. He says it's going to happen. I'm gone, but I'm coming. Your job is hope and wait. Hope and wait. But like many Christians, at times when it's hard to rest and hope in His Word, we find that difficulty because we want to ask our questions. You know what? I'll tell you this. Questions are fine. The disciples asked many. It's not unusual to ask God questions, but we need to listen to His answers. I think of Thomas here in verse number 5. Thomas said, Lord, where are you going and how do we get there? Lord, where are you going? He says, well, I already told you. Well, tell me exactly. I want a map drawn. I want to be able to type this into MapQuest and find out where you're at. He says, you know where I'm going. No, I don't, Lord. We have those questions, don't we? Philip came to Him later on and said, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Judas, it was not Judas Iscariot, but another Judas came and said, Lord, why are you telling us this and not the whole world? They had questions that were important to them. They had heard the news that God had brought to them. Maybe they understood, maybe they were registering that in their mind, but they still had questions. You know, as I thought on these questions, these are the same questions that are being asked today. They're the same questions that many of you have been having in your mind and talking with one another. You're asking the same question that Thomas and Philip and Judas asked. Some are asking, Lord, I don't understand how to go on without you. Lord, I want to know where exactly you're at. I want to know how to get there. Some are asking, Lord, you need to prove to me that this is your will and your plan. And I'll be satisfied. Lord, why me and not somebody else? Lord, why now? Why this church? Why this pastor? Why this family? You know, the wonderful thing about this story is that Jesus took the time to answer each question and each concern. See, brethren, we may not get all our questions answered here on this earth. But one day, Jesus will sit us down and He'll explain it. He'll say, this is why I did this. I know you didn't see the big picture, but I was looking ahead. And I was doing it for your benefit. I was doing it so that you may be drawn to me. But until then, you must hope in Him because He is sufficient. There's nothing else we can hope in tonight, brethren, except the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ made a very powerful statement to Thomas. In verse number 6, He says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What a statement. This is a statement of hope. What He was saying is this, His disciples, don't be worried, don't be concerned, hope in Me because I am the way and you can follow Me. I am the truth. You can build upon Me. And I am the life. You can abide in Me. See, church member, Jesus Christ is still the same today. He has not changed since the time He said those words to Thomas, Philip, and Judas, and whoever else was there. And so may I say this tonight, when your path becomes unstable, grab a hold of the hand of the Good Shepherd and let Him lead you. When your foundation is shaken, stand on the rock that will never crumble. And when life seems to be so uncertain, abide within the loving arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and giver of life. When all else fails, hope in God. And I'll say this, all else will fail, but God will not. Adoniram Judson made this statement many years ago. He was a very successful missionary, a man that served the Lord his whole life, saw very little results, but had an impact on a nation. He made this statement about hope. He said, my future is as bright as the promises of God. And if we believe that statement tonight, then our future is pretty bright. Because God's promises are pretty great. Promise number one, I am the way. Promise number two, I am the truth. And promise number three, I am the life. The hope for the grieving heart is found in the promise of God. And brethren, I would like to encourage you tonight, hope in God. He has the cure for grief. He has the comfort that will work. And take His word as truth. He knows what He's doing. Let's have a word of prayer.